Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The overcomers will rejoice. Jesus the Lord has come. I'm so thankful that we're coming to this wonderful subject, this conference, making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. Oh, making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. I'm so thankful that the Lord has led the brothers that we would cover this particular topic. You think, what a mercy, one, that we would know we have to be ready. We need to make ourselves ready. You wonder how many believers out there know this, and how sad it is that many dear believers might be surprised when they meet the Lord one day. But what a mercy that we could know that we need to be ready. It is not that one day we will meet the Lord and we just go to heaven and everything is okay. But we need to be ready. I don't know how you feel, saints, but I feel I need to hear this over and over again. Lord, I want to be ready. But it's not just a mercy that we would know that we need to be ready, but it's also a mercy to know how we can be ready. This conference that was spoken in the International Chinese-Speaking Conference, there were five messages. And every one of these messages is an aspect of how we can make ourselves ready. I don't know what your feeling is, but my feeling is, Lord, I would rather you speak to me today about my shortcomings, about my failures, than in that day when I meet you. Lord, thank you that you can speak to us today to show us what we need to do today so we can be ready, so that when you come, we could enter into your joy and enter into your presence. I just pray, may the Lord speak to us corporately and personally in every one of these messages this weekend. This first message that we're covering is titled, Making Ourselves Ready for the Lord's Coming by Loving His Appearing and Not Loving the Present Age. I'd like to read Roman numeral 1 and point C. Roman 1 says, if the Lord's second coming is precious to us, we will love His appearing. And point C, it says the Lord's appearing, His coming back, is a warning, an encouragement, and an incentive to us. I've been really touched by this portion in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 8. You know, this 2 Timothy is the last epistle that Paul wrote. And 2 Timothy 4 is the last chapter of this last epistle. And he wrote this right before his martyrdom. So these are the last words that from Paul in the Bible. So what he is saying is a very weighty word. What does he tell Timothy? He says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, I solemnly charge you. I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Just in reading this, and I felt this way even when we were covering the life study of 2 Timothy, I just feel this is such a serious matter. One day, this is real, the Lord Jesus will come back. And the Lord Jesus, he will come not as a gracious Savior, but he will come as a righteous judge. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. So Paul said, I charge you, I solemnly charge you, Timothy. And I feel like the Lord is solemnly charging us today. Amen. That we would be those who would live by his appearing and live by his kingdom. Amen. The Lord's appearing really should be a warning to us. And if we would seriously consider his appearing, this should really have an impact on our daily living. It should be a warning to us that would regulate our daily life. I wouldn't want the Lord to come back to me arguing with my wife. I wouldn't want the Lord to come back to me at work complaining about my boss. I wouldn't want the Lord to come back to me just aimlessly scrolling on my phone. If this is something that we consider seriously, this would affect every aspect of our life. This portion from the Holy Word for Morning Revival touched me. It said, if we take seriously the matters of the Lord's appearing and the kingdom, they will greatly affect our daily living. The appearing of Christ must be a basic factor in our daily living. Lord, I just pray in my daily living, don't let me forget about your appearing and your kingdom. Even, Lord, remind me day by day, you are coming quickly. I pray this will be a warning to me, and this will regulate my daily living. I was also touched that our making ourselves ready is something that is urgent and something that needs to happen day by day. I was touched by this portion in Luke 12 about this rich man. The Lord, he gave a parable concerning a rich man who endeavored to lay up wealth for himself so that his soul might enjoy itself and be merry. But God said to him, "Foolish one, this night they are requiring your soul from you." I don't know if you've ever had this thought of, oh, maybe one day when I've established my career, then I will pursue the Lord. Or maybe one day when my family life is more peaceful, then I will seek the Lord. Or once my problems are solved, then I will care for the church. Again, this portion from the morning revival says, "Every today we have is truly the Lord's grace. Therefore, as long as we have today, as long as we still have breath, we should love the Lord and his appearing. Await the Lord's coming and take his coming as an encouragement." Saints, we don't have yesterday and we don't have tomorrow. Actually, all we have is today. And even today, we still have a few hours left of today. So why not today, tonight, we can make ourselves a little more ready by turning our heart to the Lord to love the Lord. We can make ourselves a little more ready. I really like this point. It's from, I apologize, from outline 5 on having a revived living. It says, "We should rise up early in the morning to fellowship with the Lord, and we can pray, 'Thank you, Lord, for a new beginning. May this day be a memorable day in my life.'" I have to confess, I feel in my life I've had many worthless days. But I appreciate that every day I can ask the Lord, "Lord, what about today? I pray today would be a memorable day. Because today is a day that I would make myself a little more ready for your coming. Today would be a day I could give myself to love you and love your appearing more." I just pray the Lord, even the rest of tonight and this whole weekend, could make it a memorable time because we were all making ourselves ready together. I always appreciate what Brother Ron has told us repeatedly now, which is that there is still time for each one of us to make it. There is still time for each one of us to be an overcomer, but we don't have any time to waste. I just pray, Lord, let's help us to every day make it a memorable day of making ourselves ready for your coming. So I've read verse 1 of 2 Timothy 4. I'd now like to read verse 6. It reads, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day. And not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing." Paul, he was saying that he expected the Lord to reward him, to recompense him. But he said, not just me, but all those who have loved his appearing. I was really impressed because the key qualification to receive the reward is to love his appearing. I would have thought Paul would say all those who preach the gospel, who go to the meetings, who read the Bible, who live Christ. But Paul just said all those who love his appearing. And I think in considering it, I realized actually this one requirement, loving the Lord's appearing, this encompasses every aspect of our daily living. I was even just considering, you know, even just knowing the saints are coming to my home for the home meeting, how much preparation I need to do. I need to buy food. I need to prepare the food. I need to clean my apartment. I need to make sure my wife and I that there's nothing between us that we need to resolve or repent. I need to pray for the saints that they would come, that they would enjoy the Lord. I need to pray the Lord would turn me to my spirit, that I would have something to give. This is just in having the saints coming to my home. Think about how much more if we expected the Lord would come. If we were those who loved the Lord's appearing and anticipated it every day. I really appreciate in these messages, the brothers spoke a lot about Sister Emmy Barber. Sister Emmy Barber was a huge help to Watchman Nee in helping him become such a useful vessel to the Lord. She was someone who daily waited for the Lord's coming. On the last day of the year, she would be walking with Watchman Nee, and she said, "Maybe when we walk around the corner, we will meet the Lord." I wonder how many of us have ever felt, maybe later tonight, we will meet the Lord. And if we lived that way, how much our living would be different. On another day, on the last day of the year, her prayer to the Lord was, "Lord, will you let this year just pass away? Do you want to wait for the next year to come? On this last day, I still pray you will come today." And later she saw Brother Nee and said, "It's quite strange that he did not come today." This was a, consider what kind of living the sister had, in that her, she expected and looked for the Lord's appearing every single day. If we have this kind of life, our living and our work would be completely different. And I was just considering to myself, what does it mean to love the Lord's appearing? And I really feel these three things are very related. One is loving the Lord. Two is loving his presence. And three is loving the Lord's appearing. Actually, loving the Lord's appearing is a proof of whether we love the Lord. If we truly love the Lord, we would be someone who would love his appearing. These two things are inseparable. And secondly, loving the Lord's appearing actually involves our loving his presence. One of the Greek words used for the word coming, the Lord's coming, is this word parousia. And parousia actually means presence. So actually, if we love the Lord, we should love his presence. We should care for his presence. It kind of makes sense, right? If you love a person, you would care for that person's presence. You would love that person's presence and love that person's appearing. I feel I was just very touched by this because I wonder how conscious I am or how much I think about the Lord's presence. Even we should be those who love the Lord's present presence. Whatever we do, is the Lord with us? Lord, whatever I do, I want you to be with me. Lord, even I pray you be with me right now. Lord Jesus, I love you and I need you. I pray your presence would be with me whatever I am doing and be with me all the time. And we could be people who have the Lord's presence, and even the other people around us could sense the Lord's presence is with us. I think from this message, I mainly realize how short I am in my love towards the Lord. And I just pray, Lord, draw me, draw all of us, woo us, attract us more, so that we could be people who would love you, love your presence, and love your appearing. Now we'll come to Roman numeral 2, and it's kind of sad in this same portion in the word about loving the Lord's appearing, there is a contrast with this co-worker of Paul, Demas, who loved the present age, who is a part of the world. This shows that we either love the Lord and we love his appearing, or we are those who love the present age and love the world. I was really touched by Roman 2, point A2. It reads, "All the things on the earth, especially those related to mankind and all the things in the air, have been systematized by Satan into his kingdom of darkness to occupy people and frustrate them from accomplishing the purpose of God and to distract them from the enjoyment of God." Can you believe that the entire world is designed for this singular purpose? To occupy people, to frustrate them from accomplishing the purpose of God, and to distract them from the enjoyment of God. The entire world is designed for this purpose. So we should not be ignorant. At work, there's a race of running the corporate ladder, of getting a good performance rating, of getting promoted, of getting more responsibility, and on and on. This is designed to occupy us. Even everything on our phone, the social media, news, shopping, all these things are designed to distract us from the enjoyment of Christ. I just feel we should not be ignorant. I also appreciate point A, which is just 1 John 2:15, it says, "Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him." I was actually very touched because it then, you know, you consider what is the world? And verse 16 follows and it says, because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So what is the world? It's not just the things that are outside of us, but it's actually all these things that are in us. This includes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life. I have to confess that there is still something in me of the vainglory of life. When someone gets recognized and I don't, or when I look at my peers and I consider my own career, this is the vainglory of life, something in me that I still love. I also still cater to the lust of the eyes. When you consider how easy it is just to keep scrolling on your phone of news or social media, I just pray the Lord would save us. Save us, Lord, from loving the world, even for loving all these things that are in us. We don't want to love the present age. We want to love the Lord, to love his presence, and to love his appearing. May the Lord really have mercy on us. May his appearing really be a warning, an encouragement, and an incentive to us, that we would make every day a day of making ourselves more ready for his coming. I even just thank the Lord that there's so many saints here tonight and this weekend. Together we can reject the world that is outside of us and within us, and we can together come to pursue the Lord, to love him, and to love his appearing. May the Lord really grant us a memorable weekend where we can all together prepare ourselves more for his coming. Amen.
Don't we love our dear Lord Jesus? If we love our Lord, we should love his appearing. Amen. And we shouldn't just love his appearing in that day, we should love his appearing today. Amen. This matter that our brother spoke about, I'll just continue this a little bit. We have this verse in 1 John 5:19, which says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the evil one. That word world there, it's unpacked a little in the Greek, is the word cosmos. And the word cosmos indicates an ordered system arranged to occupy and to usurp us. And there's somebody who's heading that up, who is Satan. So it's not coincidental that we get the notification we get. And it's not coincidental that we get distracted by something digital or even something physical. It's incredible, you can drive by and your eyes see something and suddenly you're in another realm and you've lost the sense that the Lord was there with you. This whole world system actually in the Greek has a picture of someone who's under anesthesia. And the doctor has opened this one up and can do anything he wants inside this one. That's the picture there of the one that we are in the world system that we are under. So even this word here of evil is not just kind of the cute image of a devil. This is an evil one, saints. This evil one is pernicious. He desires to wipe out those who love the Lord. He desires to turn us from that sweet presence of the Lord's appearing. So we have to have this realization. We need to be brought into this realm of a contrast. Where are we? Are we those who are living for and loving the Lord's appearing? Or are we those in this age, as we're going to see, who love the present age? And it's incredible that in the same last letter, last chapter, Paul is writing about one of his co-workers. Two verses. Let me read 4:8, right? 4:8 says, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day, and not only me, but also all those who love his appearing. That includes us, saints. All those who love his appearing will receive a crown. And at that time, he had co-workers. And two verses later, Paul writes, "For Demas has abandoned me, having loved the present age." There's a contrast right away. Are we one who loves the Lord's appearing, like Paul, endeavoring to receive a crown even to the last stage of his life? Or right there in the middle of this race, do we encounter someone who loves the present age? And this is a check, and these verses spoke first to me. So I would just like to bring out this matter of the present age. Is the world, this cosmos that surrounds us, attracts us, and tempts us? It's actually not possible to contact the world without contacting the present age. So we may have this sense, well, that thing, that was for a different generation. That's for a different time. Whatever we contact of the world, the present age is right there to ensnare us. Just check, every one of us on our phone maybe has a different kaleidoscope of apps, but that's the present age to us, right? And we just know when we go to open that, oh Lord, cover my eyes. I may, just tonight, I had the desire to go read a verse, and I had to scroll, I had to fight through things to get to the word, right? Isn't that our experience? The present age is just there, seeking to wipe us out. But we do have, in this negative example, we do have a little antidote. And this is Paul's writing to us in Romans 12. Do not be fashioned according to this age, but be renewed by the be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect. So we have a counter to this fashion of this present age, and that's to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We can be those who present ourselves. Later, we actually can see that this is a matter of giving ourselves to take a side. Whose side will we take? Our dear Lord or this present age? If we choose our dear Lord, we will occupy our things with the church life, the things of the body life. We will find ourselves living in the reality of the body. We'll find that we're doing his interests, the texts we send, the phone calls we make will advance his interests on earth. We'll find, oh, praise the Lord, there will be a reward even morning by morning, right? Later we'll hear about the morning star rising in our hearts. We'll have that reward morning by morning if we are those who are living for the Lord's appearing. But what if we're those who are living for this present age? We recognize there will be a fashioning. Oh, there will be a shaping. And the brother just spoke this message actually to the young adults and the young people. And I'd just like to repeat kind of what he shared, that we might have this thought that we can have one foot in the world, in the present age, and one foot loving the Lord's appearing, and we can be okay. But he actually said, by us trying to do both, we lose everything. We lose the Lord's present appearing. His presence is not there when we're taking sides with this present age. And so there was a very practical speaking. I just wanted to share this with you all. How do we have a heart in the middle of this age that doesn't contact the world and love this present age? He says this has to do, as he shared from a portion from Brother Nee, it's in the Collected Works, Volume 18. He said, we need to have the heart of a widow. And we need to recognize every believer actually has three statuses: the heart of a widow, the heart of a wife, and the heart of a virgin. It's a really good portion. But this matter of a widow is someone, as we see in Luke 18, her husband is no longer there. And from the context of the verses in Luke 18, it seems like he was killed by an enemy. So the widow is going to the judge and saying, avenge me of my opponent. My husband is not here. She's persisting because the one who killed her husband has not been dealt with. This one who killed her husband, saints, is this present age. Right? Our Lord was crucified by the ones of this age. Our Lord was crucified by this world. If we have the heart of a widow, how could we love this world? The picture was given of a widow who's lost her husband. How could she find joy in eating or drinking? Her husband isn't there. So if we have this type of attitude, even though the world is so attractive, even though the world is so systematically designed to appeal to us, if our Lord is not there, how could we love it? If our Lord is not there, how would we want to remain and be in that world? Praise the Lord, we can have a heart of a widow. This is actually not a sorrowful heart. Actually, our brother Watchman Nee spoke that when he was alone, maybe walking by the sea, he was just on fire thinking of his Lord, right? But yet he could be in a vast group sea of humanity and feel lonely because the Lord wasn't there. So if we can be those, we just open, Lord, I'm still in the world. I'm still in this present age. But my heart, give me a heart that is awaiting and loving your appearing. Wow, what a practical change we can affect. I just had a little experience I wanted to share with you. I was sitting in a doctor's office this morning, awaiting not positive news, a little bit of pain. And in the midst of that doctor's room, there was some fellowship that opened up with my doctor. Hallelujah. He was a brother. I'm a brother. We just began to talk about the Lord's appearing. He was encouraged that the Lord was coming. I was encouraged by his encouragement. As he began to speak, I began to speak. I asked him, what have you enjoyed of Christ recently? And he said, I wish I didn't have to be a doctor. He said, I wish I could just go on the street and preach the gospel. Doesn't that sound like all of us? We all love the Lord, saints. If you check, you all love the Lord's appearing. It's just the present age just gets sticky. The present age captures us. And so right there in the doctor's office, he began to pray. I began to pray. Lord, come quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. What an opportunity, right? In the midst of our daily situations, to turn, in a sense, we're still surrounded by all the demands of the age, but we're in the reality of the Lord's coming. So I just wanted to just go on. We see we need to be those who take sides. If we fight for his interests, we will be those living in his appearing. When we love the present age, we take sides with this world that killed our dear Lord Jesus. And then this last point was brought out. Our brother, who kind of concluded the speaking on this conference, brought out that the overcomers are those who love the Lord, wait for his coming, and love his appearing. And we have a practical way to do that, and that's shown in Matthew 24, 40 and 41. We see that there are two men working in the field. One is taken, one is left. There are two women who are grinding at the mill, taking care of their household responsibilities, but one is taken and one is left. And this point says, to love the Lord's appearing does not mean that we should not live a normal life. I need to go back to our doctor brother, right? Don't quit your job just yet. Still, be a proper doctor. But the more you love the Lord's appearing, the more you will live a normal life today. Why? Because he's in our spirit. His presence is so precious and so dear to us. And so we are actually supplied to be the best husband or the best wife. We're supplied to be the best employee. We're supplied to be the best son or daughter, to be the best student, right? Whatever that responsibility is, we take care of it. We're in the midst of the world. But our love is for the Lord and his appearing in that situation. So I just wanted to close with a portion that was quite sweet to me. In John 21, we see this picture of the Lord shepherding Peter in love. Peter, do you love me? Peter just had a failure, right? Lord, you know that I love you. Isn't that us sometimes? Sometimes we may not be able to say, Lord, I love you. We just acknowledge, Lord, you know that I love you, right? But in that situation, the Lord just shepherded Peter. He had cooked breakfast for him. He kept asking him. Peter's response was, Lord, you know all things, right? Hallelujah. This is our reality as believers. We love the Lord Jesus. But I want to go back just a little bit in that passage. How did Peter get to that situation? At the beginning of John 21, let me just bring this out. The Lord is walking on the seashore. Peter and the disciples, Peter actually took the lead. He dragged them. They're in the boat. They'd fished all night. They caught nothing. We see later he's just kind of sitting around in his underwear. Like, really, he just gave up. And the Lord is there walking. And the believer, John and Peter, they look. They don't see him. They don't recognize it's the Lord. They see him, but they don't recognize him. And he calls out, little children, you don't have anything to eat, do you? Now you think you'd recognize that's the Lord. They heard his voice, right? No. On the boat, they didn't even recognize that was the Lord. And so then he commands them, cast your net on the right side of the boat. And they do that. Just, they're at work. Does that sound like us? Sometimes the Lord is right there and we miss him. And then he speaks to us again while we're commuting and we miss him. And he's there at the water break and we miss him. And we cast our net because he just told us, be responsible, do what you need to do. And as they pull up the net and it's full of fish, the disciple whom the Lord loves, John, it is the Lord! Right? That moment was a realization. Back in Luke 5, he did that to us. The Lord appeared to us. He came into our boat and he showed us. Wow, Peter fell and he said, I'm a sinful man, depart from me. The Lord had already visited them in that kind of a way. Here we are in the shepherding of the Lord Jesus. He didn't come to us condemning. He didn't come to us questioning our love. He just said, be responsible. Do what you're supposed to do. Work if you need to work, if you're supposed to work. Grind if you're supposed to grind. And then he appears. Saints, that's what it is to overcome. Hallelujah. There's a provision for every believer to overcome. We love the Lord and we love his appearing. And we don't just wait for his second coming. We long for his appearing today. So praise the Lord. What if we read the last portion, the last point on this outline, 4C, all together. As those who love the Lord Jesus, take him as our life, live him, and magnify him, we should await his coming and love his appearing. This should be our heart's desire and our living as those who hope to enter into his joy, be saved into the Lord's heavenly kingdom, and receive the crown of righteousness. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead now and transition. Now we have the opportunity for the saints to release your enjoyment from this message. I believe there are saints from the East Bay who are going to come forward. They'll bring forward the microphones. I believe our timing we're encouraging is 1 minute for those who have prepared. And we like to enjoy richly the Lord's present appearing in this meeting. Amen.
Well, saints, this is a Labor Day blending conference. You can come up. You can come up. If you're ready, you can come up. Right, it's a blending conference. The way for us to blend is that we have to speak. If only one person speaks, we only get to blend with this one person. If everybody speaks, we get to blend with all the saints. So we like to encourage as many to come up as possible. And each meeting will at least have 40 minutes so saints can come up to speak, right, to prophesy. At the end, and we will give each person 1 minute. So if you hear the sound of the piano, then you have to wrap up your sharing in 10 seconds.
Since the Lord's appearing will cause us not to be discouraged, not to backslide, and not to become weak. In Revelation chapter 22, the Lord spoke 3 times. He is coming quickly. Chapter 22, verse 7, behold, I come quickly.
Amen.
And verse 12, behold, I come quickly.
Amen.
And verse 20, yes, I come quickly.
Amen.
So the Lord's coming is definite. One Monday evening, I came to a brother's fellowship, and I was weak, and I was not able to pray. But then after that fellowship, I started to pray for the woman prophesying. And I was encouraged by the preparation. So I experienced preparing for the Lord's coming, even preparing for prophesying, to be encouraged.
Amen.
And to not become weak.
Amen.
And because the Lord's coming is a definite thing.
Amen. Amen. Oh, dear saints, do you love Lord's second coming?
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, it was hard for me. From my limited superficial understanding, Lord's second coming will bring forth the great tribulation. A wildfire was scary enough for me, not to mention the great tribulation. But this conference pushed me to seek more light from the Bible. I realized that this is the fact that must quickly take place, because this is a part of his plan. He will come to judge the Satan, cast death and Hades into the lake of fire, because the price of sin is death. And then he will bring down the new Jerusalem. There's no more sorrow or crying or pain. He who has an ear, let him hear. Why this verse was repeated again and again? Because it is the evacuation order from our Lord. Run quickly away from the deadly world. And Jesus is our Savior. We are not only preserved, but also transformed into his bride. And for those who keep the word of his endurance, like the church in Philadelphia, he will keep them out of the hour of trial. What a salvation and a promise.
Amen. Amen. The Lord is coming very soon, and the things in this world are happening very quickly. For this reason, we have to reconsider our living in the light of the Lord's coming. Today, our hope is not the material riches or the soulish pleasure. Our hope is the coming Lord. I just enjoyed the brother mentioning again, Luke 12, that rich man, he endeavored to lay up the riches so he may enjoy himself for the pleasure, but he didn't realize his life was taken away from him that night. And so this is so solemn warning for all of us. Every today is a real grace from the Lord. We should treasure every today. Every day we need to love the Lord, pursue the Lord, and gain the Lord, and make ourselves ready for Lord's coming. Yeah, and I just enjoy this. And we need to just be saved from the befuddling and drugging of this empty dreams. We should be watchful, praying, and be prepared for the Lord's coming. We should beseech the Lord. We can prevail, and we can meet the Lord in a victorious and glorious way.
Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:8 says that the Lord is coming. So we all have to live a life that prepares for the Lord's coming. But we also see, how is the Lord coming? He's coming as a righteous judge who gave Paul a crown of righteousness, and he's coming to judge whether we deserve a reward or not. So the question is, well, who is qualified to receive this reward? Well, it's not so much the things we do, but the verse says it's to all those who love his appearing. So it's not just Paul, but all those who love his appearing. Amen. Saints, do we love the Lord? That means we can all be qualified to receive the reward at the Lord's coming. So we should be living a life that loves the Lord and loves his presence now, even to the point where the Lord's appearing should be our warning, our incentive, and we should have earnest expectation and joy. Oh, who can be that kind of person, like Apostle John at the end of Revelation, or our sister Emmy Barber? Well, it's simply those who practice loving the Lord in this age. So let us choose not to be caught in the world, but let's choose to practice loving the Lord now, even today.
Amen. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day, and not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. This verse should be a warning and encouragement for all of us to love the Lord's appearing. And his appearing right now is his presence. Day by day, as we are enjoying the mercy and grace of our Lord, we need to be reminded that our way of living will be subject to the Lord's judgment. We need to love the Lord instead of loving this world. The affair of this world will end one day, but the Lord one day will come back He will come back one day no longer as a gracious, merciful God, but a righteous judge ready to reward those overcoming saints who love his appearing with a crown of righteousness.
Amen. 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 John charged us not to love the world. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Not loving this world is the ground for us to overcome the evil one. Amen. When John talked about the things of the world, he mentioned the three items: lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life. Amen. They are all related to our human being. They are within us. When Brother Lee, in his book, The Purity of Life, he said that anything that goes beyond our daily necessities is taking place of God and possessing us. And we need to come to the Lord. You know, we need a car. It's not a problem to have a car, but some people like to buy a fancy, expensive car to make a display. So in that case, the car is used as a vainglory. We need to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I still love you. Amen.
Amen. Many believers know that when the Lord Jesus comes back, he will not come back as a merciful God or gracious Savior, but as the righteous judge. Amen. Praise the Lord that we know that he's coming back as the righteous judge. Amen. And that we can be warned, but also encouraged to prepare ourselves before this coming. We can be those that ask the Lord to search us now, right? To burn us, to judge us. And in this way, we can be those that love his appearing, right? We love it when he searches us and he burns us and judges us. And by inviting him in, we are loving his appearing. And when he comes back, we can be ready for his appearing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I particularly enjoy this point. The Lord's appearing, his coming back, is a warning, an encouragement, and an incentive to us. In Matthew 16:27, it says, "For the Son of Man is to come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will repay each man according to his doings." And repay here is the same in Revelation 22:12 as reward. And it is basically like saying that what we need to do is really be watchful over our living. We need to have a living that is one that watches for the Lord's appearing. Just like our brother said with Sister Emmy Barber, we need to be those who pray and watch for the Lord's appearing. In everything we do, everything we pick up, we should be take it as a warning. Is this something that takes away the presence of the Father? But actually, we should also take it as an encouragement. On the one hand, it is a warning, and you know, I had a concept and was afraid. But on the other hand, it's also an encouragement and an incentive to us. If we're those who are, take the Lord's appearing as a warning and encouragement and incentive, it will guard our daily living that we would have a hope and a reward in his coming.
Amen. Saints, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. The world is an evil system arranged systematically by Satan, formed an anti-God world system by systematizing people with cultural, education, industry, commerce, entertainment, and the religion. Passed through this 3 years of pandemic, it exposed every aspect of their evils. We see conflicts in the society, Antifa, BLM, LGBT, the demonic culture, education. Kids have been fed with the idolatry teaching, sex or trans concept, big tech and a big pharmaceutical company with elite control mentality. Main media and social media become their channels for propaganda to promote their agendas. Even religious system has been weaponized to attack their opponents. We don't want to be stupefied. We need to be sober-minded, aware of what they are and the fool behind them. We need to proclaim our right against them and not to be part of them.
Amen. This message reminded me that loving the present age is in direct opposition to loving the Lord's appearing. Even this week, I experienced the enemy's subtle tactic of distracting me through the things of this age. I had bought a pair of really nice shoelaces, but immediately after I bought them, I lost them. And I was so upset at the Lord because I wasted my money and I lost something that I wanted. I even questioned the Lord, "Lord, why wouldn't you just let me find my shoelaces?" But the Lord sovereignly reminded me of his question in John 21, "Do you love me more than these?" I realized that even a seemingly harmless thing, such as my shoelaces, had become a frustration to my enjoyment of the Lord. Saints, we need a transformation. We need to pray, "Lord, renew my mind." As our mind is renewed, our will and our emotion are renewed also. Amen. Not to be so stirred in our emotion by these earthly things, but to exercise our will to stand with the Lord against the tide of this age. May we be open to his shining. Lord, renew us day by day.
How? How do we love the Lord's appearing and not love this present age? You know, we can appreciate and understand why we should love the Lord's appearing, but the proof is in how. We waste so much time talking about the worldly things, talking about economy, you know, politics, sports, even relationship. Romans 12:2 said, "Do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by renewing of the mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. Amen. That is good, that is well-pleasing, and that is perfect." Amen. Saints, our conversation should not be fashioned according to this age. Brother Lee, I was touched by Brother Lee's writing when he said, when we meet together and we only talk about the worldly things, we dishonor one another. We should honor one another and honor God. Amen. Be filled with Christ. And by renewing of the mind, we speak Christ. That's how we should love his appearing. And that's how we reject this world.
I really appreciate day 4 exposed to me how much I love the world. And I didn't think these things, that's a good place to stop. But I didn't think these things are terrible. Some of these things are very practical. Things like food and travel and culture and news and learning things and sports. These are all, they seem necessary. But we see in 1 John 5:19 that all these things lie in the evil one. Anything that is not in God, any person, any activity, is by definition in the world. And Satan is organizing all these things against God's economy. Amen. Saints, what are we doing here this weekend? Is we're hoping to help the Lord progress his return. Amen. But the world is making progress as well. It's making progress in the exact opposite direction. Amen. Especially when I'm with the other saints, when I'm with saints my own age, or the college students, or the high schoolers, or the children, do I use the world to try to make a connection with them? This is terrible. Do I actually try to bring them into something that is completely against what God is trying to do? So this is a very helpful word, exposing word, not only to myself, but to my conduct with the saints. And what is my expression?
Amen. Amen. Since this is the Lord's mercy and a blessing to us that we can receive this word, the Lord is coming.
Amen.
And his coming have everything to do with the way of our living.
Amen.
If we have a living that loves the Lord's appearing, we will bring the Lord back.
Amen.
But if we have a living that loves the present age, we would be brought farther and farther away from the Lord, and we would be discouraged. So we have to consider before the Lord, how do we live our living today?
Amen.
We must love the Lord and love the Lord's appearing.
Amen.
What is the Lord coming to us? It should encourage us to seek the Lord, to come to the Lord, to consider the way of our living. You know, Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it gave us a testimony. His living was one that loved the Lord's appearing, right? And he was encouraged that he has fought the good fight, right? He has finished his course, that the crown of glory would be upon him.
Amen.
Saints, may we live in such a way.
In Luke 18, those who know the Lord are likened to a widow. Saints, I'm so sorry. I'm praying that I don't lose it trying to share this with you. But saints, we are a widow because the one that we love was crucified. And the one that we love is not here. We don't love the world because it's not lovely. We don't love the world because it's unpleasant. And we don't even love the world because the Bible forbids it. But we don't love the world because the Lord is not here.
Right.
We long to see the one that we love.
Amen.
In Luke 18, the widow, she appeals to the judge to avenge her of her opponent. Our opponent is still fighting today to draw us away from the one that we love. May the Lord return quickly. When he comes, we will see the one that we love, and he will avenge us of our opponent.
To the Lord's loving seekers, his appearing is the greatest enjoyment. Because his appearing is just his presence.
Amen.
It is also, the Lord's appearing is also the loving seeker's greatest incentive.
Amen.
Because we long to see the Lord in that day.
Amen.
However, we also get to enjoy the Lord today.
Amen.
Because his presence, his appearing, is with us.
Amen.
As I considered this word and how it affected my living, I had the sense that also the Lord's appearing is a warning and a restriction to me. As I consider the last few weeks, as we were getting into this word, I realized that in my living, I cannot go too far in certain things. His appearing restricts me because of his coming. But also, his appearing encourages me.
Amen.
By his presence and his supply, he strengthens me to live in the body and serve in the body to hasten his return.
Amen.
Amen. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are of God. Oh, saints, we know.
Amen.
We are of God.
Amen.
Oh, and the whole world lies in the evil one. We have been begotten by God. We are out of him. Thus we possess his life and partake of his nature. But the phrase, the whole world lies, really struck me. Right? This indicates that the people of the world are lying passively under the usurping hand of Satan. But saints, we can live actively because we have the life of God.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. We have the life of God.
I appreciate that loving the Lord's appearing is related to loving the Lord and loving his presence. If we are to love the Lord's appearing, we must love the Lord's presence. Today, we have Christ, the morning star, rising in our hearts, appearing to us inwardly in our spirit. This inward appearing is a foretaste, an encouragement to sustain us until the Lord comes again. If we love the Lord's present presence in all things, we would love the Lord's second coming. To prepare ourselves for that day, we must treasure and seek the Lord's presence day by day.
Amen. To love the Lord's appearing and to love the Lord himself are inseparable. Loving the Lord's appearing is the proof that we love the Lord and live for him today. Amen. We might all know about the truth of the Lord's second coming, yet we don't live a life of anticipating his coming. So in this message, the brother actually reminded us about our attitude as a Christian today by using the parable in Luke 18, which talks about the widow. So we Christians today are just like the widow, in this present age, because our husband, our dear Lord Jesus, is not present and is absent here. Wherever our lover is, where our heart should belong to. So we need to be very watchful to live in this age. Even Paul's fellow co-worker, Demas, he abandoned Paul because he loved the present age. So we cannot trust in ourselves. Our minds need to be renewed day by day.
The Lord's appearing and his return is both a warning and encouragement to us. So when the Lord Jesus comes back, he will not come as a merciful God, but as a righteous judge. So according to Matthew 25, each one of us has to give him account. So the time is short. The day is coming soon. We should all prepare before to stand this judge. Are we just speaking about the Lord's coming back? Or we do have this vision of the Lord's coming back that govern our daily living? Are we every morning enjoy finding his morning star and loving his appearance? Are we faithful steward? May all we qualify. When the Lord come back, we are qualified to receive the reward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. Since we're to know what the world is today, the world is an evil anti-God system arranged by Satan to usurp God created man. God created man with a purpose, but Satan is using the world to distract us from God's purpose. And this world is systematized by Satan into many departments, to culture, education, commerce, even religion, even entertainment. All these things are the things that we're in every day. We're in the world. But saints, we have to take such a warning. Do not love the world. Even in verse 17 says the world is passing away. The world is lust, and those who love the world are passing away. But God, his will, and those who do his will abide forever. Amen. May we be those who love God and do his will today.
The whole world lies in the evil one. If we didn't realize this before, we certainly realize it now. Everything, everyone, and every matter has been systematized by the evil one, but not the triune God. Amen. We need to flee to the triune God. But practically speaking, what does this look like? We need to flee to the Word. Amen. When we touch the Word, we touch the living triune God. Amen. May the Word be our refuge, saints. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God.
Amen.
I almost didn't share because I haven't been in the word that much this week, and I'm also terrified of speaking in front of people. But thank you for the brothers sharing tonight. We have today.
Praise the Lord. We still have today as long as we have today. Can't worry about tomorrow. If we really love the Lord, we will love his appearing.
Amen.
If we love the Lord's appearing, we will be like John on the island of Patmos, who was for the Lord and said, "Come, Lord Jesus." If we love the Lord's appearing like John, we also will partake of the Lord's kingdom. I also want the way we can enjoy the Lord's Spirit by calling on the name of the Lord every morning, afternoon, and evening.
Amen.
Amen. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. Amen. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him.
Amen.
This verse shows us that we need to be absolute in loving the Lord. Loving the world even just a little gives the evil one the ground to defeat and occupy us. Saints, all it took for Lot's wife to become a pillar of salt was one glance, just one glance towards Sodom. Saints, what do we do with our time? Do we spend time on the things precious in the Lord's eyes or on the things that will soon pass away? I confess, I fall so short. I still love the world, even though I'm in the church life. But praise the Lord, it's by his grace that we're here.
Amen.
By loving the Lord, by enjoying his word, and by calling on his name, we can be those who love his appearing.
Amen.
Lord, make us those who love your appearing.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, in what way are we living today? Are we loving the present age, or are we loving the Lord's appearing? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is,
Amen.
That which is good and well-pleasing and perfect." The will of God in this verse does not refer to our normal human matters like marriage, employment, housing. But the will of God in this verse refers to the body of Christ.
Amen.
The Lord's will is to obtain the body of Christ. And so what is our heart consumed with every day? Are we consumed with enjoying the Lord? Are we consumed with the Lord's interests on the earth? Are we consumed with the saints going on in the Lord? Or are we consumed with the matters of the present age, even the normal matters of human life? We need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that we may be one with the Lord's heart to build up the church as the body of Christ.
Amen.
Then we will live the most normal human life.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day.
Amen.
And not only me. I was so impressed by the word. Paul said, not only me, but also those who love his appearing.
Amen.
To me, this is so encouraging.
Amen.
Amen. It's not just for Paul. It's also for us.
Amen.
If we will love his appearing.
Amen.
Amen. It means, it implies the Lord's appearing should be the basic factor of our daily life. Whatever we do, wherever we are, we may be at school, we might be sitting here listening to the brothers and sisters sharing, or we may be cooking at home. Our daily life, our daily living must always be under the light of the Lord's appearing.
Amen.
Our beloved Christ will soon come back. May we by faith say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Lord. Oh, dear saints. 1 John 5:19. We know we are of God, and the whole world lies in the evil one. I was so touched by this, and that the world is passing away, but saints, we are of God, and we are not our own. May we live a life today that loves his appearing. Praise the Lord.
The world is a trap, and it just leads to death. But you know what's great? Christ. Christ is great, and God is great. God gave us his Son, and we need not to forget his love for us. And we need to love God with the love that he loves us. Lord, just draw us to love you and enjoy you. Amen.
That's right, Lord. Draw us to love you and love your appearing more and more each day. Amen. Praise the Lord we have today. Amen. Right? Another day to love the Lord. Amen. To love his appearing. Amen. Right? The more we love the Lord's appearing, the more we will live a normal life. Right, but I must ask myself, what do I think is normal? Right, we want to live a normal life in God's eyes. Amen. And what is this normal? Is one that is under his divine dispensing. Amen. Right, what about ordinary days under the Lord's divine dispensing? Amen. Right, ordinary days in his presence. Amen. Right, may this be real to us every day. Right, I'm so appreciative of a brother's testimony, even at the doctor's office. Right, there can be sweet fellowship with the doctor. Right, what about with our colleagues, with our classmates? Every day is an opportunity for the Lord's smile to be there, for the Lord's presence to be there. Right, the more we love the Lord's appearing, the more this will be normal to us.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. This story about Demas really. You know, I thought about it for a very long time and kept considering it. And, all this speaking about the Lord's return just really touched me. And I just recently kind of realized, you know, through all the speaking that, you know, in this life right now, if we are not, if we're not enjoying the Lord like we would in the New Jerusalem, then we know where we're going to be in the, you know, so it's not so much of a mystery. Am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? Or, you know, or that kind of a thing. But we need to enjoy the Lord right now, you know, have that kingdom life right now. And if we're loving the Lord and enjoying him now, then we know where we're headed, right? Amen. So, and I just also wanted to share, you know, I was here a year ago and got, you know, connected to a lot of the saints that were standing in this line. I just had this last year was such a great year of speaking and fellowshipping with one another and gospel preaching. So I just want to thank all the saints. Amen.
Love the Lord's appearing. Amen. I appreciate that. To be fashioned according to his age to be fashioned according to his age is not what God wants us to do, and we need to be those who are transformed by the renewing of the mind. And take side with the Lord and fight with him for his interests. And Paul charges the believers in Romans 12:2 of this. And in this verse, we see that the present practical part of the world, the age in this verse is the present practical part of this world that we contact. So to be conformed to this age means to adopt modern fashion outwardly. And the present age of the world today is set up entirely as a system of error where Satan uses to usurp and occupy man. So what we need to do today is to love the Lord's appearing. Amen. We should stop waiting. We should stop waiting in ourselves, but wait for the Lord to appear to us again and again. In this way, the Lord, he will impart his love in us, and we'll love him more and love his appearing.
Amen. Amen. There's some practical ways I feel that we can make ourselves ready by loving the Lord's appearing and not loving the present age. And I would say the first one is to tell the Lord you love him. Amen. Don't take the lie of Satan. He likes to tell you, you don't love the Lord. And then if you take that, you go, yeah, I don't love the Lord. He goes, yeah, you really don't love the Lord. Yeah, I really don't. We have to... we have to say, Lord, I love your appearing. Amen. Lord, I do not love the present age. The more you say that, the more there'll be an amen in your spirit. Amen. Why are you here on a Friday night, on a holiday weekend, if you don't love the Lord? Right? That's a proof you love the Lord. You don't love the present age. Otherwise, you'd be out there doing something else. So we have to declare from our spirit, Lord, I love your appearing. Amen. I love you. I love your appearing. And I do not love the present age. Amen. That's why I'm in the church life, right? Amen. Then the second thing is we have to realize that there's no middle ground, right? You're either loving the present age or you're loving the Lord. You can't, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters, right? You can't have your foot in two boats, right? Or eventually you won't be in either boat, right? So we have to realize there's no middle ground. So what do we do with things like this where it says, everything, everyone, and every matter has been systematized by the evil one, the adversary of God, and made a part of this, of his world system, right? Everything. How are you going to escape that? It says, in such a situation, where shall we go? We need to go to the triune God. Amen. Only the triune God has not been systematized. Amen. Only the triune God is not part of this world system, right? So we need to go to the triune God, and practically you can do that by going to his word. Amen. Go to the triune God and go to his word every morning. Amen. When you're in the triune God and you're in his word, the world is not there, right? I recently had an experience where somebody I was shepherding who came back into church life after being gone a long time, I was trying to help him. I said, how about you come to my house and we'll have a time in the morning? And so we did that, and he enjoyed it so much. And I said, should we do this maybe a couple times a week? He said, how about we do this every day at 7 o'clock? And I said, okay, amen. Eventually we pared it down to Monday through Friday. And this brother has been so faithful. Every morning I got to get up at 6 because I know he's coming at 7. Right? And it has been the biggest help to me and to my wife, right? And I just feel like, oh, saints, we need to be in the Word every day. Amen. We need a fresh revival, revived living by being in the Word every day, to be in the triune God and in his Word.